Here's Doug.
Thank you, Carol. Bless you all. Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 2, please. Tonight we're going to continue in our study and understanding, our learning of concerning the new birth, which we started a number of weeks ago. We've looked at a variety of topics of what the new birth is, and as I continue to study and appreciate God's word, we could probably go on like this for a long time, because the new birth is that multi-variegated, it's that dynamic, it's that terrific. Tonight we're going to look at the new birth, our sanctification. Sanctification is spoken of throughout the Bible. In fact, it's spoken of right here at the very beginning of the Bible. And it helps us to understand what it's about. It says, this, of course, is God putting the heavens and earth back together again, the second heaven, the second earth, so that it'd be inhabitable. And on the sixth day, he does his crowning achievement of man. And then it says, at the beginning of chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. The word sanctified, as perhaps you might know, means to simply to set apart. It's to set apart or to mark off, to separate from that which is common. And so in doing this, God making the Sabbath, the seventh day, he is setting it apart from all the other days, from all the other 6 days. In other words, all the other 6 days had something in common, but the seventh day was special. It was set apart specifically for rest and for God. This is later in the book of Deuteronomy established in the law of Moses, and the children of Israel were commanded in the law, in the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath, keep it as set apart, as sanctified from the other days. Sanctification is spoken of a lot in the Old Testament. There's records of, for example, concerning the tabernacle and the tabernacle being blessed and anointed, and the altar in a similar fashion, and those being sanctified, those being set apart from anything else that is common, that has something in common with it. It's set apart. Aaron, as the high priest, was sanctified. He was set apart from the people. He was set apart from the other priests as the high priest. But the word sanctification in the Old Testament doesn't always pertain to things that are necessarily good or holy. This is maybe a very dramatic example. Look at 2 Kings chapter 10. Second Kings, chapter 10, referring to a king who was not too wonderful of a believer, not too much a follower of God. Second Kings, chapter 10, and verse 20, it says, "And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal, and they proclaimed it." The word proclaim is the same word as the word sanctify. In other words, set apart a solemn assembly to worship Baal. I guess this is, set apart. We often think of sanctification as being something good or, holy, but in this instance, it's the exact opposite. Look at Jeremiah chapter 12. The point is that the root meaning throughout the Old Testament is simply to set apart, and to set apart from that which is common. This is another striking example of sanctification in the negative. It says in verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 12, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." You know, they might be talking about good things, but far from their mind, their reins. "But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of" what? Slaughter. Now, the word "prepare" here is the same Hebrew word as the word "sanctify." In other words, it's sanctify them for the day of slaughter. Ungodly people set apart from the common people, and they're set apart for a purpose of death, for slaughter. It's interesting that the word, the Hebrew word for sanctify, is translated sanctify pretty consistently through the Old Testament, but here the translators, I guess, couldn't get to translate it as sanctify them for the day of slaughter. Sometimes human logic kind of comes in and messes around in translation. But it's an interesting study throughout the Old Testament of things being set apart from that which is common. Now, when we get to the New Testament, let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is one of the great prayers in the Word of God. It's very extensive prayer of Jesus Christ, right before he's going to give himself over to be tortured and put to death. But in John chapter 17, verse 14, it says, "I have given them thy word." This is Jesus Christ's prayer for his followers, for his disciples, for his followers. And he says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Look at that. We are in the world, but not of the world when we're believers concerning Jesus Christ. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one." We heard in the manifestations earlier tonight that God has delivered us from the evil one. Well, Jesus Christ's prayer is that God would keep the believers of Jesus Christ from the evil one. Spiritually, Christians have been delivered from the evil one. We saw that when we looked at our dominion that has been regained in an earlier teaching. But practically, you have to walk, you have to uphold God's word, and he's praying for believers to be kept from the evil one. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Believers have been set apart from the world. We've been set apart from the evil one. It says in verse 17, "Sanctify them," set them apart from the common, from the rest of the world, from the rest of the people. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Boy, what a verse. It's the Word of God that sets people apart from the common. And really, you know, a great understanding that comes from the Word of God is that this world is a present evil place, that it's deteriorating. It doesn't take, you know, a PhD and, you know, anything, you know, really all that much, but just an honest heart to recognize that, the history of man, the state of the world. But believers have been set apart from the world, and believers have been, as we'll see, set apart from the pitfalls of human nature by Jesus Christ. But here it says, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. And then verse 20, one of the great verses, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And when you think about verse 20 logically, that includes us, because the word of God has been passed down since the first century. And it's been passed on from believer to believer, from generation to generation, and we are the blessed recipients of someone having shared the word with us. So neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What a great prayer. And that prayer continues to be answered to this day as people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13, please. You know, it's pretty neat what we'll see. I have in my hands a copy of Bullinger's lexicon, which is just one of the great pieces of work. In fact, if you've ever read about the life of E.W. Bullinger, he was knighted by the Queen of England for having done this particular work. And what it is it's a dictionary, basically, of the New Testament, of the over 5,000 Greek words in the New Testament. And he wrote it, he compiled it, by doing a word study on every one of the words. Talk about a labor of love, and talk about, you know, such an extensive work. But it's really cool when you come and read what he wrote about the word sanctify. The word sanctify means, in the New Testament, to make holy. Pretty neat. The word sanctify in English doesn't seem to have any connection with the word holy, but it's very clear in the Greek that they're basically the same word, to make holy, to set in a state opposed to that which is common or unclean. You know, to be sanctified by God's word is to be set apart from what is commonly believed in the world. To be set apart by the gift of Holy Spirit is to be set apart from human nature. It says, or to deliver from that state of being common or unclean, and put in a state corresponding to the nature of God. That's the sanctification that comes with the new birth. It's spoken of a lot throughout the New Testament, and we'll look at some verses. I would encourage you, if you want to study further, to look at the word sanctify and sanctification, and to see its incredible depth of meaning. But in Hebrews chapter 13, it says in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate, you know, the gate of the city. That's where, you know, Jesus Christ died, where he, you know, gave up his life. So our sanctification is by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by him giving his life. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It says in verse 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Jesus Christ said, "I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first covenant, that he may establish the second covenant, by the which will we are sanctified. We are set apart from being unclean or common. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So it's an accomplished reality. It's been done. And we all are the blessed recipients of it. Now, how does it come to us? Well, look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I'm going to start in verse 15. And this is Paul recounting his conversion when he meets up with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. In verse 15, I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know, imagine the shock in Apostle Paul's heart and life when he, you know, his journey is interrupted by Jesus Christ, because it says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." You know, this is a wonderful example of being set apart for a purpose, right? And the purpose is Paul is being sent as a minister unto the Gentiles. And then verse 18, the purpose of him being sent is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You know, that is being set apart, isn't it? Set apart, you know, from having shut blind eyes to opened eyes, to be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified. You know, an inheritance amongst all the believers, amongst them which are set apart, by believing that is in me. You know, how are we sanctified? Well, we're sanctified, as we read in John 17, by the word of God. And we're sanctified by believing in Jesus Christ. You know, when you really understand the word and believe the word, it concerns Jesus Christ. And that brings about the new birth. Saying the new birth is our sanctification. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I spent some time in preparing for this study and just read through Corinthians, and sanctification is something that's spoken of quite a bit. It says, did I say 2 Corinthians? I think I should have said 1 Corinthians. Let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, in verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are, what? Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So here is the address of Corinthians, and it's to, of course, the church which it says Corinth, but them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus called saints. Now, the word saints, again, is related directly to the word sanctification. Saints is simply the noun form of the adjective holy. They're all related. It's the word hagios. And saints is a very interesting word, you know, as is holy, you know, hagion, which is an adjective. The adjective form is used 161 times in the New Testament, 93 of which are coupled with the word spirit, pneuma, pneuma hagion. But the word for saints, you know, the noun form is used 77 times, but 62 of them refer to God's people, saints, and of those 62, 61 of them are in the plural. It's the most common reference, the most common term identifying the believers in the New Testament. We're called saints. You could understand it as holy ones, or you could understand it as sanctified ones, set apart. Well, what sets us apart? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets us apart from that which is common to human nature. You know, in the first birth, you get the defective human nature. In the new birth, you get a holy nature. Now, just like any other reality that comes with the new birth, it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to act or walk in holiness. But it is a holy nature. It sets us apart. We are sanctified. And the word sanctified comes up often in the epistles to the Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think it's understandable when you become familiar with church epistles that 1 and 2 Corinthians are reproof epistles. And they're reproof to a very carnal church who are acting as if they weren't set apart. So there's an emphasis on right from the beginning of the believers being sanctified. The believers are saints. They're holy ones. We have the gift of Holy Spirit, but yet they were walking by the flesh. They were all divided. They were carnal. They were doing, you know, some really, you know, awful, immoral stuff, you know, getting drunk in communion and sex parties and all the stuff that, you know, having, you know, fellowships that are all indecent and out of order, all the stuff that's reproved in 1 Corinthians. And then you get into 2 Corinthians and it continues, but gets to a lot of the heart of the reproof to help them getting back to walking for God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at what it says in verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" The unrighteous are the unsaved. It takes the Spirit of God to see the kingdom of God, like Jesus Christ taught Nicodemus. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of man of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Well, when were some of them in these, you know, foul categories? Before the new birth. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed," you know, from all of that sin, from all that crap, from all the junk that comes with the first birth. "You are washed, but ye are" what? "Sanctified." Ye are set apart. "Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That's what is our sanctification. That's what sets us apart. You know, the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, it's really something just to stop and consider that you are set apart from the rest of the world. Just like, you know, Jesus Christ, when he's praying in the garden in John 17, you know, the world hated him, and so the world will hate us. We're set apart. We're different. We're not common. We're not like everybody else. We're not part of the, you know, the groupthink. We're not part of, you know, the you know, let's just party till we die kind of category, or, you know, all the other stuff that's associated with human nature. We've been set apart. We've been delivered from that. And even though our citizenship, our true citizenship, is in heaven, we're still here upon earth. Remember, Jesus Christ, he didn't pray that God would take us out of the earth. Now, that's coming in the gathering together. That will really set us apart. But, you know, in the meantime, we're here with heavenly status, with Holy Spirit representing the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to pick up the record in verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Why? We're different. We don't have that in common with them anymore. We have a new nature. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, that, you know, for any young person that's considering getting married, I mean, there is a boundary very clearly drawn in the Word of God. Don't marry an unbeliever. That would be unequally yoked together. It might be in other categories of life you just stay away from. Now, it's not that God has taken us out of the world. He sent us into the world with the Word to help those people. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. And what communion hath light with darkness? Again, none. What concord or what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? Boy, these are great truths to really digest, you know, because we have been set apart from that which is common. And what agreement hath the temple of God, referring to us, the body of Christ, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, now spiritually, by the new birth, we have been separated. We have been sanctified, but this is applicable to the practice in the walk, that we don't get involved with the common, with the all the junk of this world. And we'll be a father, verse 18, unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear, the reverence of God. So that would be manifesting our sanctification, our holiness. It's not automatic. That which comes in the new birth is holy. We are sanctified. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, I got to get my first and second lined up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, boy, oh boy, God is so wise. You know, he has chosen things you know, that other people would not agree with or wouldn't recognize. But he has chosen things and made them to be right in his sight by giving the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, and so people can understand that no flesh, you know, all the human abilities and human thinking and all the stuff that comes with the first birth should glory or boast in his presence. And then verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory, what? In the Lord. It's what the Lord has done. It's what the Lord has made us to be in the new birth. And listed here, he has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. It's part of that new birth package. Now we just need to learn to practice it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, Peter, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Again, this is in the walk. God is holy, so we should imitate God and be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am what? Holy. Now we've been made holy, we've been sanctified, we've been given the Holy Spirit in the new birth. That's a one-time occurrence in the past for us. But now it's in the walk, putting it into action. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks of this rather wonderfully. Actually, there's a lot of places if you study sanctification. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Again, the practical application. This is, you know, they taught them how they ought to walk, and then the encouragement is so that they would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. So encouragement throughout the New Testament for us to live a holy life, for us to manifest our sanctification. It's already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it by, you know, we walk our sanctification by believing what God's Word says and by walking by the Spirit that God has given us. Look at Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. I mentioned earlier that sanctification is spoken of throughout the New Testament quite a bit. And this, these are just, you know, some references. But it becomes a spiritual reality for all of us at the time of the new birth. And then God's encouragement is for us to continue to walk by the Spirit, walk on the Word of God, so that we can manifest that holiness. And as we do, people will see us as being different, being set apart, that we're not like the common folk, but we're God's heavenly people. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 15, it says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. We read earlier about his calling on the road to Damascus. Well, You know, God made him to be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the word of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified, what? By the Holy Spirit. It's that gift of Holy Spirit that sanctifies people, whether you're Jew or Gentile, that puts you into the body of Christ. And all of us, as the saints of God, have been made holy. And as we continue to walk upon the Word of God, we will manifest that holiness and live a life that's different, a life that's set apart, a life that really is not common and is certainly not unclean. So God's Word is very encouraging to us. It's very wonderful how by God's grace He has saved us, He has set us apart, and how by also by the grace of God we can live a life that is sanctified, that we can live a holy life. So Heavenly Father, thank You for the wonderful encouragement of Your Word, for how it just identifies who we are, what we have in the new birth, and part of that new birth is our God-given sanctification. Father, may we continue to walk by the Spirit and walk on Your Word, and as we do, manifest the light and the fellowship of the power of God, the fellowship of the Spirit that we've received, and Father, be an attractive beacon to others so that they can get delivered and know You. So, Father, I thank You for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You are God's best.